Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Thinking about a new vehicle? Trust the team that's been taking care of customers for 70 years. The Cannon family has helped thousands drive home happy. Come take a test drive today and see why. And remember, when the smoke clears, nobody beats a Cannon deal. Nobody.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, everybody, let's go. Super Talk Eagle Hour back on the road, back on the air, on the road all week, as a matter of fact. But today we're in the Southern Bancorp studio here in beautiful Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Glad you're with us, Bob Kelly Dima. Opening segment sponsored, as it is every day, by Dickey's Barbecue Pit, which is a great place for dinner and a great place to cater your next event, whether it be for your church, for your house, sporting event, whatever. Dickey's does a wonderful job of catering. All right, men and women's basketball wins over the weekend. Let me repeat that. Men and women's basketball wins over the weekend, and we will be happy to report on that a little.
We need to hear the bell. Do we got the bell for
Wait a second.
Ding, ding. There we go.
We'll be talking about that a little later in the show. Also, some football scheduling news, a home game that you may or may not know about. We're going to tell you about that later, but we're going to kick off this week and probably the next few weeks talking about college baseball. So who better than Mark Etheridge from D1 Baseball Publication to come on the Eagle Hour and kick off this season. And, Mark, we appreciate very much your input. Thanks for your time today.
Absolutely. You know, the season's almost here. You wouldn't believe it with the weather we have, but yeah, but we're going to be playing ball in less than 2 weeks.
Yeah, you're not wrong. And I know all through the Southeast there's a lot of excitement in the air about college baseball. Kind of a general question, though, Mark. Do you guys see that sort of enthusiasm in other parts of the country that we see down here about college baseball?
Well, there are pockets nationally, but as a whole, no, absolutely not. And certainly, even the state of Mississippi might even be at the top of the chain here. I mean, with all the excitement, you know, Mississippi State with a new coach coming in, Ole Miss hosted a regional, had their best year really since they won the thing. And then, of course, Southern Miss, another big season planned. I mean, I really like this team. I saw them this fall. And there's so many reasons to be excited, really, about all three. But I know you want to talk about the Golden Eagles, and, man, I'm fired up. I really think this is going to be one of the best teams that Southern Miss has had.
Where do you see the strength of this year's team? Because they did lose some real high-caliber players. But where do you see the strength of this year's squad?
I give you a couple things. One is just the experience and just the maturity of the team. You're going to have older players everywhere. And if you look around the country, I mean, old players win. And that's not just a baseball thing. You know, you look at other sports as well. But you've got so many players who are not going to be learning on the job. You're going to have a couple of new starters. But I do think that even some of the new starters that you're bringing in, that Southern Miss is bringing in positionally, have experience elsewhere. And then the other thing I would point to is on the mound. Colby Allen is just a big game guy. He's had such a great career as a closer, moving to the rotation. And then Graydon Harris, I'm as excited about him as anyone. Had a great year as a freshman last year, has really developed and matured, has more of an arsenal that he can go to, and I look for him to have a monster year.
Mark, this is Dima Mixon. Back to what you were talking about regional, you know, excitement for baseball. Would you maybe point to that? And I don't want to get into a basketball discussion, but basketball not being as popular down here in the South as it maybe is up in the North might be a reason for that, just because everybody's just kind of, when football's over, just like, all right, how many days till baseball? I know that's the mantra around here, and it certainly is over different colleges around us as well.
Yeah, I think you're right to a degree. Certainly there are schools that have become more baseball schools is maybe their second most popular program. Is past basketball, you know, right behind football. Football is obviously king, but I do think that because of the success because of the advantage from a weather standpoint, resource standpoint, fan base. And honestly, the lack of professional sports, right? And I do think that gives the college baseball fan, especially if your team's successful, more reasons to get behind your program. And I think you're seeing that. The other part of that that is coming into play is just from a resource standpoint, with NIL, with rev share, what piece of the pie are you giving each sport? And certainly the teams and programs in this part of the country are getting a lot more than some up north. I mean, the Sun Belt's averaging more scholarships given than the Big Ten. It shows you where the priorities are and where the support is for every program.
Southern Miss opens the season with UC Santa Barbara. I would say probably a top-tier matchup on the mound between Colby Allen and Jackson Flora. I'm just curious, from a D1 baseball perspective, is that one of the better opening games as far as on a Friday night game next week?
Yeah, I mean, I would think it's probably the best on-campus matchup in opening weekend. I don't think of any others. There's some good tournaments. You know, you have these neutral site games at, I think, Globe Life. There's some really good teams there in Arlington. But yeah, on campus, we're supposed to have someone there. We're still finalizing the travel plans and all that stuff. But I think, D1's certainly excited about seeing two really good teams. And also the fact that it's on campus. I mean, the atmospheres are so much better on campus than in a neutral site facility. So yeah, that's a monster. There'll be a great pitching matchup, and honestly, just it's one of those that could come, late in the year. You're going to look to series like that to determine pecking order among teams, because there's so little cross-regional, California team playing a team in the South. You just don't get enough of that. So when you do, you certainly pay attention.
So, Mark, let's break down the Sun Belt as D1 has it. Of course, in the nationwide polls, Coastal Carolina getting most of the love, Troy getting a lot of attention. Southern Miss, it just depends on who you talk to. So, from the D1 perspective, let's look at the Sun Belt. Talk to us.
So, Coastal Carolina, based off what they did last year and what they return, I mean, we've got them in the top 10. I think we got them, sixth? Just returning so much. With Flukey, the back is the Friday night starter. Johnson, the guy who's moving from reliever into the bullpen, one of the best 1-2 punches in the country. And they also return quite a bit offensively. They're just a team that we feel like is going to have a lot of success. And we got Southern Miss second. And like I said, I'm really bullish on the Golden Eagles. I think our whole staff was when we got ready to debate over the preseason top 25, there really wasn't a whole lot of pushback when we got to talk about Southern Miss. I think there's been enough credibility built up over the years. And then, of course, with me seeing them this fall, everybody was I guess, shared the same outlook I had. I think those are the two best teams, and I think Troy's next. I saw Troy this fall, very physical team. They're going to hit. The question for me is they've got a lot of guys to throw hard. How good of pitchers are they? And that'll decide how good they're going to be. But I think those are the top three. And after that, it's a little murky. I think the Raging Cajuns are going to bounce back. I think they will be better than they were last year. How much? I don't think they're going to crack the top three, but they could be that next team. And maybe, Sun Belt's a good league. Maybe there's enough room to get extra bids this year. I certainly think three is going to happen, and there could be an opportunity for four. One team that I also saw that I feel like will be better is South Alabama. They were not very good last year. They just weren't talented, and they've been able to go out and get a little more support from an NIL resource standpoint and upgrade their talent level. And I think they'll be better than they've been the last few years.
Yeah, there was some talk that Mark Calvey might not even be back as coach after last season. But you talk to a lot of South Al big-time supporters, and they'll say it's been interesting that the rise of the South Alabama football program, the expense has been paid at the hands of the baseball program, because as football emerged,
which is traditionally a very good program,
right? That baseball kind of took a back seat, Mark.
Yeah, I think that's well put. It's there's only, for many programs, there's only so much money to go around, and how do you allocate it? And I do think that the baseball program at South kind of, they were on the short end of that, and they're trying to make up some ground, and I think they have, and it'll just be a question of time, right, before they're more competitive.
All right, we're talking to Mark Etheridge from D1 Baseball. Going to hold Mark over. I think he had planned to stay with us a little while today. Going to keep talking college baseball when we get on the other side of the break with Mark. As we headed to the break, I want to remind you that Forest Health reminds you that keeping up with your favorite team is fun, but the most important player on the team is always you. A new year is here. Get an annual physical. Be sure you eat right, exercise, stay close to your family doctor, and make sure your health is as good as it can be. Forest Health can help you with expert medical care closer to home. ForestHealth.org.
I know I was always the most important player on my team. My coach would tell me because I never complained about not getting to play. He liked that very much.
I don't know what to say. Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast is too early in the week. Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, or Alexa or Siri will play it for everyone except Kelly. We'll be right back with Mark Etheridge.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, Eagle Tire West out on Highway 98 West invites you to see them for premium Goodyear tire products, full auto and truck service. It's all at Eagle Tire West. You'll find them right next to Smith Motor Company, Highway 98 West. Family operated since 1985. Eagle Tire. Eagle Tire West. Goodyear tires. Full service. Big, big Southern Miss supporters. We've got Mark Etheridge from D1 Baseball on the Eagle Hour today. Mark, I'm going to kind of follow up on something you were talking to Kelly about. You were talking about the strength of the Sun Belt in baseball. Mm-hmm. Do you find it as hard to explain as we do that the Sun Belt does not allow Southern Miss and Coastal to play a regular season series?
Yeah, that is certainly disappointing. And you look at Coastal, they don't play Southern Miss or Troy. I mean, at least Southern Miss and Troy play each other. You get a monster, you know, one good, right, you know, right, high-profile series, right?
Right.
Coastal doesn't play either one. Hmm. And, I mean, they've got a chance to have a tremendous conference record and honestly, you know, not get a whole lot of fun games.
Interesting.
You know? Hmm. But I know these schedules are often made out years in advance and that kind of thing, and you're trying to rotate them. But I do think there's got to be some common sense because you're hurting your product. Because if you have a Coastal Southern Miss series, and hey, pick whichever venue you have it in, it'll be packed. It'll be an amazing atmosphere. People like me will be talking about it all week, and it's just so much better to try to grow your product if you maybe manipulate a little bit your schedule so that you get those opportunities. I think just think that's good business.
Well, what you just said, though, doesn't that give Coastal a huge advantage? Coastal could literally 100%. Win the league without having to play arguably the other best team in the world.
Or they could win the league and have a significantly worse RPI than the other two.
It just doesn't make any sense, Mark.
Yeah, you're right. And I do think you're onto something there with the RPI. It's something we've been talking about internally. Because we kind of expect Coastal's going to be really good. They don't need the help, right? But they're going to be, you know, they could win 26 conference games or something crazy like that, but not have a very good RPI. And then how will the committee view that, right? Totally dominant, but because you don't have those scalps, you know, on your wall, maybe, you know, maybe you don't get the benefit of the doubt, right? And I do think that Southern Miss could be in similar, except Southern Miss has so many good, you know, midweek games, playing all these SEC teams was great scheduling. That series we talked about in the opening weekend's another good one. I don't think Southern Miss is going to have an RPI problem, but I do wish that if you had your top, you know, your top four teams, top four preseason contenders, they should all play each other every year.
Yeah, 100%.
Especially if you're fighting for credibility and fighting for extra bids and those kinds of things where the Sun Belt is right now, because there's an opportunity. You know, we talk about the Big Four in football, Big Four conferences. Well, I mean, the Big Ten is good because you got UCLA and Oregon, a lot of those teams, but those traditional Big Ten teams are not as strong and they aren't as committed to excelling in the sport. There would be an opportunity for the Sun Belt to kind of maybe even time or be right in that mix or perhaps even pass them in the conference pecking order, which is going to lead to more bids and all that. But to do that, you've got to have the momentum. You've got to have good on good and raise everybody up.
So this scheduling...
I agree with it.
Yeah. So this scheduling faux pas by the Sun Belt is truly an unforced error.
Yeah.
100%. Yep.
And arguably, Southern Miss is the ones who knocked out Troy from the postseason last year by sweeping them on the road. And, you know, yep. Of course, the Sun Belt doesn't want that, but I still don't think there's a reason for Southern Miss and Coastal not to play. I mean, it just makes no sense for them not to play every single year. And I don't know if you could do something, Mark, like a, you know, travel and stuff would be tough, but if you could just, like, have the last weekend of the regular season be open and then, you know, your 1 and 2 play each other, your 2 and 3, your 3 and 4, whatever it is. You know, mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's something that they could do, but I just feel like for the benefit of the league, it would make sense. But on the other side of the token, you could argue that Southern Miss is the one by playing Troy last year who knocked them out of the tournament. Now, of course, you could have said that Troy needed to win a game or two at the Sun Belt tournament later in the year. But man, still,
yeah,
hard
that
to
was
believe.
The only series Troy lost last year,
right?
But their problem is, you know, the bottom of the Sun Belt wasn't as strong, so their RPI wasn't as good. So kind of like what we're talking about with Coastal, you beat up on a bunch of teams that you're supposed to beat, and you don't sweep a lot of them, then your RPI is not going to be where you want it to be, and then you're going to have something to offset that, which are typically marquee wins, which Troy just didn't have enough of.
Yeah,
Mark, we have a lot of coaches tell us that, and in our fan base, let me back up a second. Some in our fan base here are frustrated, I think, because the Golden Eagles, as you say, are really an elite program, and they've gotten so close to the World Series over the last 3 or 4 years, only to lose there at the very end. But a lot of coaches tell us that oftentimes the difference in the teams that get by the Super Regionals and the ones that don't are the ones that have a little luck down the stretch in the mm-hmm. postseason. How much truth do you think there is to that? And where... how close is Southern Miss to breaking that door down again?
Well, I think when you look at the teams that succeed in the postseason, there's a couple of things that come to mind. One is that you mentioned luck, but specifically you need injury luck, whether you have your best guys on the field at the end of the game. And a lot of times they're playing, but they're not really the same as they were in April and May. Either they've worn down. That's especially true with pitchers throwing a lot during the year, and they're just not the same. That's one thing. I think older players that handle the moment, that don't get flustered if you fall behind 3 runs, you know, in an elimination game, can come through and do that sort of thing. I think the other part of that is having those elite arms who can match up and let you win a 3-2 game. And you're probably going to need more than one. You look at LSU last year; they rode those two aces, and they were a handful, man. And Arkansas had a similar situation. That to me is what you've got to have. And when I look at Southern Miss, I see a lot of the boxes. Now we don't know what the injury luck's going to look like. We don't know what normal luck's going to look like. But they've got two pretty good arms that you could ride, and potentially more. You know, as the season goes on. And then the other part of that is just having experienced older players. A lot of these guys played in regionals last year and the year before. And And they just, they've got to do it, of course. But heading into the year, they certainly like a team that a lot of people are going to point to as one of these Omaha contenders.
Mark, we're seeing at Southern Miss huge roster turnovers in football, huge roster turnovers in basketball. We haven't seen much movement, hardly at all, in baseball. Are you finding that to be a national trend, that more baseball teams are able to keep their talent in-house?
Not really, no. I think what Oz has built there, and of course following what Scott did and Corky did, they've been able to, once people get there, they're happy and they want to stay. Mm-hmm. And they've done a good job developing players year to year. It's certainly a developmental program. They don't go out and recruit 30 guys to come in and replace the returnees every year like some programs do. It's built on continuity and culture and those kinds of things. And as a result, I do think that helps you going forward. I think the only question is, can you, in today's world, where people, if they don't play right away, they leave, and that's, I mean, Southern Miss has had some of that, maybe not as much as elsewhere, can you be patient and develop guys? And, you know, we had smaller rosters now. It's a 34-man roster where we had 40 last year, right? In that as the sport is changing, can you be patient and give guys time to grow so that they're really good players by year three? But, you know, if I don't win in year one, people are going to be mad, right? So it's trying to find that balance. And I think he's done a good job with it so far, and that will be the charge to continue that going while still going out and supplementing to find, hey, I'm a little short in the outfield next year. I need to go out and grab somebody and to be able to find those right guys that fit with your culture.
Hey, Mark, it's always a great pleasure having you on our show, and hopefully we can get you on pretty frequently during baseball season. I know everybody follows D1 as the go-to guide now for college baseball, and I think I speak on behalf of a lot of Southern Miss fans when I say thank you for the love that you guys at D1 have shown Southern Miss, and you do treat the program with a great deal of respect, and a lot of us really appreciate that.
Well, that's intentional. I mean, certainly Southern Miss has deserved it. They also treat us great when we show up there, so fans do too. I'm really excited to get back over there.
Dima's already got a tweet going out, Bob. Mark Etheridge says Southern Miss should play Coastal. Huge mistake by the Sun Belt.
It is.
It's a ridiculously dumb mistake.
Retweet.
There you go.
Mark, thank you very much, man. We really appreciate it.
You got it, man.
Mark Etheridge, everybody, D1 Baseball. Thanks for setting that up, Damon. That was a good interview.
I thought he was going to say, no, don't tweet out, but he says, no, go ahead.
No, he believes it's true, too.
Yeah.
Good news this weekend, man. Both basketball teams played well. Dima says there was a nice crowd Saturday. All good news. We're happy to report on that next. Stay with us.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
I want to thank Mark Etheridge from D1 Baseball and Dima Mixon for setting that up. Mark's always a great interview, and we really do appreciate that. Lots of softball and baseball interviews coming this week. Starting next week, Oz will be making his Monday appearance on the show. Travis Creel will be joining us every Wednesday.
Daniel Stewart on Tuesdays.
Tuesday. Other than that, we're probably not going to talk about baseball a lot in the next few weeks.
No, the next few months is what you mean.
But we got something good to talk about. As we head into the break, let me remind you real quickly about DBAT, which is a great place for state-of-the-art training for baseball, softball, adults of any sport. And Dima pointed out a couple weeks ago, you can go down there and spend about $10 and see just how good you can hit baseballs.
It's
huh?
fun. Yeah, like I said, we shoot our annual baseball magazine there. So while I was waiting for some of the teams, because, you know, some team came at 2 and then the next one like at 3:30. So I was like, yeah, I was going to go try one of these batting cages out, and man, it was fun.
So what chance would you, I, and Kelly have of hitting a hard line drive off of Kobe Allen?
Zero chance. Zero. Now, the question is whether or not we could just foul one off.
Maybe we could foul one.
Just maybe get contact with the bat. The hardest thing to do in sports is hit a baseball. I'm not even kidding.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable the talent some of these players have in hitting baseballs.
Our old friend, he's a friend of yours, who Al Holder, talks frequently about that he believes Major League Baseball players are the greatest athletes on the planet.
Oh, yeah. You know. Considering the movement that now are on even just simple fastballs, yeah. Rising fastballs that start in the zone and then go, you know, end up here. You know, it's incredible. Like I said, I made a bet with so when I was back at school at Southern Miss, Rodrigo Montenegro was on our softball team from intramurals, and him and Gabe Montenegro, and I was talking to him, and I said, hey, and that was when Tanner Hall was pitching. I was like, if I could just foul off Tanner Hall, how much money would you give me? He said he'd give me like $20,000 because he said it's impossible.
He said you're not going to put a bat on the ball.
He said you won't even see the ball. You'll see it up here, and then you'll hear it in the mitt.
And I'll tell you what, to be a good hitter, you got to have great eyesight. And I know baseball players have great eyesight because I've seen most of their girlfriends and wives.
Okay. On to basketball.
Yeah, they're not that real quick. I will tell you this. I had a really interesting visit last week, and I'll be talking more about it later, with Brian Dozier last week. Spent about an hour and a half with him, and he told me that he wasn't a home run hitter in baseball. You guys may find this interesting because you play golf. I said, so how did you start hitting home runs in Major League Baseball? He said he was playing golf with the pitching coach, and he hit a tee shot about 300 yards. And the pitching coach says, why don't you hit a baseball like that? And he replied, I'd like to. And the pitching coach, and I'm paraphrasing, said, well, you're hitting the golf ball with your hips, but I notice you hit the baseball with your arms. We're going to teach you how to hit the baseball with your hips. And Brian Dozier, Major League All-Star, said when he learned that, ball started leaving the ballpark because he said it's your legs and your hips.
That's where the power is generated, for sure.
Yeah. Anyway, on to basketball. Good news to report. Let's start with the women. They played first and both played well this weekend.
Yeah, the women played on Friday night due to the winter storm. They played on the road at Old Dominion. They were down 9 with 2.5 minutes to play, and they were able to rally with just 2.5 minutes and put that game into overtime, and then eventually won it 86-83. Biggest takeaway for me was that Ja'Kayla Johnson and Carly Keats both had good days. 32 points for Ja'Kayla Johnson, Carly Keats with 20. And then Haley Breland, she had 21 points on the day, and she played all 40 minutes, so that's really encouraging for her.
What I like about the team that Missy Bilderbach's putting on the floor right now, where they're struggling is getting behind, right, getting behind early. They almost won that Georgia Southern game.
Yep.
They were way down. A lot of people had them counted out. Now, they lost, but they only lost by 3 points. They really battled back against ODU, as Dima just mentioned, down 9. They come back to tie it. They win it in OT. So there's no quit in this team, and anytime you win one on the road, I mean, that's really good news.
And I'm sure we'll cover it later this week, but big game for the women on Wednesday night, hosting James Madison here in Hattiesburg. James Madison right now 16-8 overall with an 8-4 conference record, and the women, the Lady Eagles, 12-10 overall with a 5-6 conference record. So if they could upset the Dukes here at home, it would bode really well for them as far as their standings in the Sun Belt.
And the men with a much needed win, and you said they played well. Nice crowd, a good day for men's basketball.
Yeah, I mean, it was I have no idea how JMU beat Troy, but I guess it's not saying much because Troy just lost another game by 20 points to App State. But yeah, it was a good win for Southern Miss, like you said, much needed. Tyleek Weeks just overtook in the second half.
He's coming on.
He only had 4 points in the first half, and then went off for 24 points in the second half and finished with 28. Dylan Brumfield only with 10 points. One thing that to me that I thought, and something I asked Jay Ladner about after the game, they didn't shoot that many threes on Saturday. They only shot 10 threes. Now, of course, they didn't make a lot of them because they're just not a good three-point shooting team. But I thought the offense was a lot more patient than it had been on that road swing. Only 10 threes, a lot of points inside the arc where they were doing these jump shots and things like that. So I think that's them recognizing their weakness and trying to, you know, generate some offense in other ways. And they did. So it was a good win for them. But again, they're back on the road on Wednesday night, on the road at Marshall, who's one of the better teams in the league. But I mean, that's not really saying much because I don't really think the league is that good anyways.
But weeks, you were talking 28 points. Yeah. I mean, that's
and 24 in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, that's just an amazing night for him, and good for Dalen Brandon, who hasn't really gotten
second,
a lot.
It was a second career start, but most minutes.
Yeah, hasn't gotten a lot of playing time. A kid from Baltimore, Maryland, comes in here and he shows out. Had a really good game for Southern Miss. The Eagles have been taking care of the basketball, which we talked about when we had a Coach Wynn Case on. The Eagles have turned over the basketball 12 or fewer times in three straight games. That's something that they've really been trying to, knowing that they can't spot the other teams a lot of extra possessions. So, again, third straight game that they've had less than 13 turnovers. And they shot the ball in the second half, you know, furthering what Dima said about not going for the three ball. They shot at 50%. In the second half, and they made 24 out of 28 free throws.
Good for them.
Yeah, so that's the way you're going to have to win these games. Right. There's very little room for – this team is not so talented that they're going to get away with having a bad night.
I think we should point out, too, because we've – I don't want to say critical. We have been critical to the basketball program, but we've just been kind of covering the reality of it. But these guys are 500.
Yeah.
They're 500 overall. They're 500 in the league. So there's still a lot for them to play for.
6-6 in the Sun Belt, 12-12 overall.
Yeah, and of course they got a lot of games at home coming up. You know, and with their record at home, you would think that they would win one or two of them. But again, you know, I still didn't think it was great basketball on Saturday. I don't think it's necessarily a great team. There's pieces there. Jay Ladner, when he was talking about Dalen Brandon, I asked him, you know, what was that like? And he said, well, it's always good when you start a player and it makes you look like a moron for not playing him the whole season.
Yeah.
And that's what he said about him. He also gave an update on Isaac Tavares. He said that we'll travel with them to Marshall. Don't necessarily play in that game, but they're hoping if all things go well, he will return in the lineup on Saturday against Kent State.
That would be really good news, wouldn't it?
Oh, that's tremendous news.
And that's part of the MAC challenge. But unfortunately, Kent State is among the top two or three teams in that league. Yeah. So the Golden Flashes will be coming in here.
So, Dima, did you get an opportunity to get loud, get loud, get loud?
he's not commenting. But reasonably, what can you expect when Tavares does come back?
I mean, well, I think you're going to have to give him a few games.
Sure.
You know, he's not going to be what he was, you know, late November, early December. But I think it's good to get him back now.
Sure.
Right. And he has a month before the Sun Belt tournament.
Because really, it comes down to one week.
But again, if they could give some, you know, if you look at their remaining schedule, like we said, they go on the road to Marshall on Wednesday night, which will not be an easy game just because of how good Marshall has played, especially at home. But think about this. They get four straight home games. South Alabama at home. Old Dominion, that should be a winnable game at home. Troy, you know, that's going to be tough. But, again, Troy just lost by 20 to App State.
They lost two in a row.
Right. So if you could just get one or two of those, you should be able to finish in the top eight.
You want to get in that sixth spot,
yeah,
at least,
but
right?
But the good news for the Golden Eagles is that nobody's running away with the league right now.
Right.
You know, like they're 6-6, but they're only two games back from second.
And, you know, in years past, we've asked, will the Sun Belt ever get more than one bid into the NFL?
Not this year.
Well, and look, they don't deserve it.
No.
I mean, there just is not a team that has been head and shoulders better than everybody else.
And I know sometimes we're on here, you know, flaming ULM, but good. Goodness, they're 3-20, 0-11 in the league.
Can we play them anymore?
Yeah. A few more wins against them.
Actually, Coastal's playing them four times.
Or the Coastal gets to play them four times.
In baseball.
Right? Ten times in baseball.
Yeah.
By the way, I didn't point out when we were talking to Mark and Dima pointed out that the Golden Eagles probably knocked Troy out of the tournament last year by sweeping them. I want to add they beat them again in the tournament, so they actually beat them four times last year.
Yeah.
This was after Troy was predicted to win the whole thing.
I don't see either of you guys crying at this point.
About beating Troy four times? No. I look forward to beating them four more times this year. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, you know, Genesis of Hattiesburg is the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Genesis sedans and SUVs are gorgeous. They're really nice cars, and you can find them all at Mississippi's exclusive Genesis dealership. It's on Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. Kelly, did you go to Mo Bay this weekend?
No, I'm going this Saturday prior to the Kairos Mardi Gras parade.
So you're going to eat beignets, and then you're going to go eat all the food at the bank. Our sponsor, Southern Bank Corp.
Yeah, I won't be eating as much food at Southern Bank Corp.
Oh, you'll be drinking all of their liquor. That's what you'll be doing.
You said it. I didn't. Any other comment will have to come from the president.
We look forward to that.
Or your lawyer.
And the parade is Saturday, so you need to make plans for that. Melissa Socia does such a great job organizing that, and it's a lot of fun for everybody, isn't it?
It is, yeah, and it looks like the weather's going to cooperate. None of these 20-degree mornings or anything like that.
Yeah. All right, last segment of the show. That's when we do news and notes, Demon Mixon.
Yeah, we could start with football scheduling. You know, when we had Jeremy McClain on the show a couple weeks ago, Kelly asked him about that, phantom game in next season, 2026 season, where if Louisiana Tech joins the league, Southern Miss will have to find an opponent. And we were hearing some sources telling us that it was a team out of California, and now those sources are also telling us that it's now a team in the northeast part of the United States. I'm not going to say the name of the team because it hasn't been confirmed. I don't want people getting excited, but that would be a home-and-home series with a team in the Northeast.
A Big East team.
Big East team.
And track and field, Bob, you mentioned it at the top of the program, and you talk about bang for your buck as far as competition
for money invested.
The Golden Eagles had a great, great weekend at the South Al Jaguar Invitational. It was actually in Birmingham, but South Alabama hosted it. The men had four wins, including Piers Cameron. You remember the shot putter that was on the show here with us? He finished first in the shot put with a throw of 19.03 meters. I'm not real good with metric conversions. But Isaiah Lowry claimed the triple jump. Connor Mosey won the weighted throw, and I'm not sure what the weighted throw is.
Did they not throw you? Or?
No, they throw small people.
Yeah, they grab them by the belt loops and throw them over the bar. That's the way it used to be. I guess you can't do that anymore.
By the way, real quickly, did you go to the small people wrestling event over the weekend?
Do you want me to plug?
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. I wanted a special shout-out to Valentino Rudolph, who won the 400 meters.
What a name.
In a time of 47.4 seconds. There was a, Dima, this is for your generation, there was a silent movie star back in the...
Rudolph Valentino.
Yeah, his name was Rudolph Valentino, and this kid's name is Valentino Rudolph. So congratulations to him.
See what you learned today, Dima.
Oh, I learned that Kelly's now on his eighth pair of glasses as I'm looking at him read this.
Yeah, these are kind of the old gold ones. The women's team had multiple top eight finishes. Addison McLaren won the 400 meters. Jordan Bodie won the triple jump. Elena Simon in the high jump. I mean, this team.
Didn't we meet Addison? I think we did.
On the program here.
Yeah.
I mean, this track and field team at Southern Miss.
They're superb.
It's amazing.
I've said it before. Baseball, track and field, your two most successful programs at Southern Miss.
And I was interviewing some of the softball players last week, which we'll get to hear from them this week because their opener is on Friday. But I was going to the softball complex and got to drive by the track and field facility there. Mm-hmm. And, man, they were all out there working, getting ready for the Jaguar Invitational. Glad that it was another prosperous weekend for our track and field athletes.
We're going to have a lot of softball interviews the rest of the week. We're going to do some baseball stuff this afternoon. So, we're gearing up, man. Spring sports are about to ramp up.
And the softball players told me, Bob, they go to class.
Do they? Isn't that amazing? There are still sports where kids go to class. I think the baseball players go to class, don't they?
I've had a few of them in my classes when I went to Southern Miss.
And, of course, we say that tongue-in-cheek because most
football,
big money college football players. What, one of them said he hadn't been to class in 2 years.
Yeah, real quickly, tell the basketball story you heard this weekend.
Which one?
You were listening to the broadcast.
Oh yeah, I was listening. I was listening to the Central Florida Texas Tech basketball game from the Big 12 conference. Game was in Orlando, but the Texas Tech radio network was highlighting that the Central Florida roster had 15 players on it, which over the past 3 years have represented 53 different schools. 53 schools represent, and one guy on Central Florida who was in his sixth year.
Let me guess, six schools.
Six different schools. That's right.
He's pursuing a degree.
He's pursuing something else, but I don't think it's a degree.
Well, good for the kids on the track and field
team. Yes.
They all go to class, and they, those are the sports that they're still playing for the love of the sport and the love of the university, and I have a great appreciation.
And they all talked about when their sports careers are over, they all had clearly defined ideas as to what they wanted their degree to do and help them in the professional world.
We are very happy on this show to give publicity to those kids in track and field and softball and the sports that you just don't hear that much about in the quote-unquote media.
Because, they, like you mentioned, they're still doing it for the love of the game.
That's
and
exactly right.
To help them get that diploma.
That's exactly right. All right, lots of good stuff coming on the Eagle Hour this week. We sure appreciate you listening each and every day. We'll be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. And until then, Southern Miss.
To the top.
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.